morning, everyone. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see everyone. Glad everyone's here. We're gonna have a blessed day in the Lord's house this morning. Amen. Got a few specials this morning, three of them, in fact. So we're gonna get started. We're gonna turn over to number 249. Would you all rise? Nothing but the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Brother Raul, would you pray for us this morning? Yes. Amen. You may all be seated. Good morning. I forgot last Sunday to thank the ladies for cleaning the church. They cleaned the church, and just appreciate all the work that they do and everything. I think they said they had more fun afterwards fellowshipping, so it wasn't really all that much work, but they had a lot of work, but it wasn't all that much to do with work than enjoying each other in fellowship. I'm messing this all up, but I better just keep going. They had a good time. Amen. They had a good time in fellowship and working at the church. Let's see. We did. We received a couple cards from the Poolers, and you know they've been here preaching for us. Brother Pooler has, Sister Pooler, And they just want to thank everyone. You know, the church was such a blessing to them, and they look forward to coming out again. And also they thank the ladies for the tissues. The paper towels, see? There we go again. The paper towels. For the paper towels that you provided there. Yeah. Paper towels. She really enjoys paper towels. So she said thank you. Thank you for those. Tonight we're going to have our birthdays and anniversary celebration after the service tonight. So if you can come out and fellowship with us, we're going to have a good time. Also this morning, if you weren't here this morning, you guys missed the blessing. Amen. Brother Cheney from Lighthouse is here with us. And boy, this morning's Sunday school was a blessing. It really was. But he's going to preach for us this morning, and it's going to be a blessing, I'm sure. Let's see. I don't want to forget anything. We have three specials this morning. So let's begin with let's get a special right now. How about Brother Pat? Would you come up and sing for us? Amen. Then after that, we'll have a scripture reading.
Okay, I'm a little out of my comfort zone here. So this is called Here I Am, Lord. I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry, those who dwell in dark and sin, my hand will save. I who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead. I will hold your people in my heart. I, the Lord of snow and rain, I have borne my people's pain. I have wept for love of them. They turn away. I will break their hearts of stone, give them hearts for love alone. I will speak my word to them. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, as you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. I, the Lord of wind and flame, I will tend the poor and lame. I will set a feast for them. My hand will save. Finest bread I will provide, till their hearts be satisfied. I will give my life for them. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Pat. Amen. We should all be asking ourselves that question. You know? You should be telling the Lord, here am I, Lord. What do you want me to do? I'll do whatever you want me to do, Lord. For if I'm in your will, and if I'm doing what you want me to do, I'm doing what's right. Amen. Amen. Do we have a scripture reading this morning? Amen.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. The scripture reading this morning is from the book of Psalms, chapter 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night my hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Praise the Lord for the reading of his word. Amen.
Amen. If you turn over to number 652. We'll sing the first and last verses. I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me, how he left his home in glory for the cross of Calvary. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. Days of darkness still come o'er me, sorrow's path I often tread, but the Savior still is with me, by his hand I'm safely led. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. Amen. Would you all rise and we'll turn over to 176. 176. And we'll have our offering after this song. Will the ushers please come? End of the song. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing His word. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of His precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. It tells of one whose loving heart can fill my deepest woe, who in each sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. Brother Roger, would you pray for our offering?
Heavenly Father, again, thank you for your many blessings. We pray, Lord, that everything is done today will be to glorify you.
Yes.
We pray that you yes. Be with Brother Cheney, Lord, as He opens the bread of life to us, that hearts and minds will be tuned to your word. Again, we thank you so much for watching over us. We thank you for your love, care. We pray for our missionaries, Lord, throughout the world who we support from this church. And we thank you so much for that. You give us that ability. Thank you again for loving us and dying on the cross and shedding your blood. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. How about Brother Johnny, would you come up and bless us with the song the Lord has for us?
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
You know, I've got to praise my Jesus at all times. When I'm walking to Walmart, Circle K, it doesn't matter. Because what He has done for me, saved my soul, helped me through my trials and tribulations. He is my bestest friend. As the little kid said, bestest friend. There's no other. And my lips will praise Him forevermore. Please.
his name is most excellent, my friend.
Oh, excellent is thy name, O Lord. How excellent is thy name. Heaven and earth together proclaim. How excellent is thy name. How excellent is thy name, O Lord. How excellent is thy name. Heaven and earth together proclaim. How excellent is thy name. When I look into the midnight blue and see the work you've done, your children raise a perfect praise while the enemy holds its tongue. Creation shows your splendor, your reign and majesty, and you're so kind to take the time to care for one like me. How excellent is thy name, O Lord. How excellent is thy name. Heaven and earth together proclaim. How excellent is thy name. How excellent is thy name, O Lord. How excellent is thy name. Now heaven and earth together proclaim. How excellent is thy name. Not one fine day when the trumpets play, the dead in Christ will rise. Your chosen few will gather to you, proclaim your Lord most high. With joyful hallelujah, all the heavenly host will sing. Every knee shall bow, tongue will shout, you're the King of Kings. How excellent is thy name, O Lord. How excellent is thy name. Heaven and earth together proclaim. How excellent is thy name. How excellent is thy name, O Lord. How excellent is thy name. Now heaven and earth together proclaim. How excellent is thy name. How excellent is thy name.
Praise God. That's my Lord Jesus. Glory to my King.
Amen. Amen. I don't know if do we have time for one more special? Yeah, let's come on. You guys can come on. You can do it. Come on. Roger, Sister Jackie. One more. Amen.
I think this song is very appropriate. We are approaching the resurrection day, and we're going to be singing on the old rugged cross. Resurrection day.
And exchange it someday.
Such a small church, boy, we're blessed. We truly are. We are so blessed today to have Brother Cheney with us from Lighthouse Baptist. So he's got another hour and a half. We said we're gonna let him come up and preach to us and. I know he's got something from the Lord for us, so Brother Cheney, amen. Thank you, brother.
All right. Man, it's good to be in the Lord's house.
Amen.
It really is, and it's good to be saved. It's really good to be saved and know that this place is not our home. We're just passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I tell you, it's good to be saved. I mean that. Well, it's such a blessing to be here at Shula Vista Bible Baptist Church. And again, I mentioned in Sunday school class, my wife, Carol, 35 years, and was not able to make it. Got bit by a bug, flu bug. That bug is just getting all over the place, getting around. But she was doing a lot better today and thought she would be able to make it, but felt like she, you know, needed to stay back a little bit. And it's a blessing. I have two daughters. One is married now, and have a granddaughter there. She spent a lot of time working in the mission field as a single woman in Papua New Guinea and Vanuatu, up in the bush of New Guinea a little bit, doing some administration, starting schools and education and that type of thing. Both of my daughters was Christian education for many years. And it's just a pleasure to be able to be saved and serve the Lord and be around the brethren, you know? I mean, you know, there was a time people wouldn't want you around them, you know? But now people let me come around, and, you know, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. But again, just want the Lord to be a blessing to you, be a help to you, strengthen you. And pray that he'll use me as a channel to flow through there, to bless you, and maybe an instrument of righteousness there, or a vessel of honor to pour something out into you that'll be a help to you. And he can do that. He wants to do that. And he's willing. If you take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And pick up Colossians also. Go ahead and find Colossians chapter 3. Sunday school hour, we talked about doing what you can. And so many people choose not to do what they are really capable of doing. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Chapter 13. 1 Corinthians. And also Colossians. Find the book of Colossians, chapter 3. Colossians 3. And we'll look at a couple of verses there. We'll look in 1 Corinthians 13. And then we'll see what the Lord has for us. He got something for us. I know. You know, we are needy people, so we'll see what he has. Let me read, just make a comment here. Well, actually, a question. How is your marriage? How is your church, your ministries within your church, your friendships? Your counseling been going lately? Your business? employment. What about parenting? How are things going? Just some thoughts. Just how's life? Has life been going working for you lately? Well, I think we can pull something out of here that can help us in all these areas. And matter of fact, I know it will. It's just we don't consider this that often. And let's read chapter 13 of Corinthians, and then see what we kind of maybe perhaps can pull from there. Chapter 13, look at verse 4. Let's just read verse 4 down to verse 8. Charity suffers long. Charity is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, and we've read down to verse 6. Let's pick up at verse 7. Beareth, speaking of charity, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecy, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Kind of like to pull a title from verse 8. Just three words. Charity never faileth. Charity never fails. It means never to become inefficient. Never get to the place where it takes none effect. You know, it's amazing in life, we try everything. It's amazing when we're dealing with church, ministry, families, business, careers, trying to maintain friendships. We try everything. We read every kind of book we can find, the 7, 8, 9, 10, 100 love languages or whatever we can find to make things work, how to win friends, influence people or whatever. But the Bible simply says charity never fails. Never. Now, God says it never fails. And God cannot lie. It's not that God chooses not to lie. He cannot lie. The Bible teaches us. And he's telling us that charity never fails. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. I pray you'll help us here, Lord, to be stirred, influenced, if you would, moved, perhaps even challenged, changed, convicted, whatever the Holy Spirit would have us to be and do. I pray that through the Lord Jesus Christ, he would use the Holy Spirit to help us this morning and teach us something this morning. Lord, you said charity never fails. I pray you help us to use it more. I pray you help us to look to it more. Even pray about charity. And ask you, Lord, to move in on us and minister to us in a very, very special way this morning. We'll be careful to give you the honor, glory, and praise for it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Charity never failed. You tried everything else. Why not try charity? In Colossians chapter 3, I had asked if you would turn there, please. Verse 12, hold your places in 1 Corinthians. We're going to come back over there. But it's interesting in Colossians chapter 3, he lays out some things. Apostle Paul lays out some things, of course, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He just didn't think of this on his own. But in verse 12, he exhort them, if you would, to do some things. And in his exhortation in verse 12, he go, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, if you would, putting up with each other, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel, that's a complaint, against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Verse 14 is what I want to get to. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond, if you would, a joint tie, a ligament of perfectness. That perfectness is completeness. So Paul challenges us. He exhorts them here to put on something that's above all these things that he mentioned. He mentions, if you would, mercy, compassion, kindness, humbleness. That's that lowliness of mind, humbleness of mind. Meekness, and it's interesting, meekness in all its context means to be able to negotiate with others without causing friction. You look at Moses negotiating, working with them without causing friction. Jesus, come unto me, I'm taking the friction out of it. Are you that a heavy burden, late, heavy laden burden? And so meekness is when we're at a place where we're able to negotiate with one another. I didn't say compromise, but negotiate with one another in such a way that we don't cause friction. You got to be humble to do that. There's a lot of negotiation need to happen around this place right now. It's a lot of conversation. But he said above that, and then he mentions long-suffering. Interesting, long-suffering in its context, and it is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's not the fruit of us. It comes from God. It's of God. We can't suffer long without God. But long-suffering is, it's an enduring temperament that expresses itself in patience with the shortcomings of others. So you got this person that's willing to negotiate, and they know how to negotiate with spouses, with church members, with family, with grandchildren, with folks. They know how to negotiate without causing friction because of the humility of mind. And at the same time, this person has an enduring temperament that expresses itself in patience with the shortcomings of others. Sound like God. Being long-suffering to us, what, not willing that any should perish. And so, but God lays out some things here, even the forbearing, which means to really, let's just put up with each other. He said, above these things, I want you to put on our subject today, our topic today, charity. He's putting charity above all of the rest. It's something about charity that I believe we've missed along the way. Charity is a very, very interesting word. But I remind you of this. The Bible said, let all your things be done with charity. Now, above all things, put charity, and let all your things be done in charity. Somebody listening? I think we missed it. I think we missed that somewhere along the way. Above everything and in everything we do, charity. And that reference is in 1 Corinthians 16:4 when it says, let all your things be done with charity. And then we bring ourselves to Peter making a comment where he says in 1 Peter 4:8, and above all things, have fervent charity. Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Man, 1 Peter 4:8, charity's not going to bring it up. Charity can have a conversation without bringing up the sins of the past. Charity is willing to suffer long with someone, not go, oh, I had it up to here with you, you got it coming. Yeah, they got it coming, but don't give it to them. That's what charity, I mean, just charity is like, well, let's just put up with each other and let's get this thing done, let's make it happen, let's do what we can. It's connecting the dots. That's charity. And God said, man, I want you to have this charity. Now, charity, in a theological sense, includes this: a supreme love to God. That's why it needs to be above everything. It's a supreme love to God and universal goodwill to man. That's why you got those missionaries up there on that wall. You concerned about the ones in the Philippines, the ones in New Guinea, the ones in Japan, the ones in China. It's a universal, if you would, goodwill to men. God said, I want you to put that above everything. I mean, a supreme love to God. And so charity, if you would, demands nothing in return. Think with me a little bit now. Charity doesn't have to mandate. Charity has influence. With charity, people just automatically line up behind you and follow you. See, charity is greater than both faith and hope, the Bible teaches us. We pray for faith all the time. Oh, give me faith, give me faith. What about charity? Hope. Fading hope. Without hope, there's depression, there's everything. But I got to tell you, without charity, there's no faith. Without charity, there's no hope. Charity is God coming, dying for sinners. God commended his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Without that, there's no hope. I mean, he gave us faith. Faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The faith we had was because of charity. We didn't do anything to earn faith. We were saved by grace. Amen. And it's like God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's like our whole life is wrapped around charity. The grace of God. God said, I want you to put that above everything. Charity, the Bible teaches us, is a more excellent way. A more excellent way. Well, why in the world are we not using charity? I mean, why are we not even praying for charity? If I ask you a question, please don't raise your hands. But when's the last time you prayed for charity? We need charity. We stand in this pulpit, it needs to be charity. You need to look for it in there. In counseling, in dealing with problems, situations, circumstances of life, we need charity. Now, on the other hand, there's self-love. Self-love. Let me define it for you. But self-love fails because it is a willing or sacrificial giving of oneself. Self-love, I could be willing, I might not be willing, I might do it because it's necessity. I might do it out of necessity, or I might do it because you're making me do it, but it could be willingly. But it's a giving of oneself with selfish thought a return. I'll scratch your back. You know the rest. You scratch mine. That's self-love. You know, if you do for me, I do for you. What have you done for me lately? That's self-love. That's different from charity. Now, why are we sending money over here to help these people? They ain't done nothing for us. They taking everything from our country anyway. That's selfish, self-centered, self-serving. Judas was self-serving. When we went over that this morning, only interested in Judas. Self-love. Let me look back over in your text here, 1 Corinthians. Look at the first three verses. Let's see something about this self-love in the first three verses. Because a lot of people, they're serving, but they really don't love God. They're doing things. And we measure them up by what they do, and they really are serving themselves. I can do that from behind this pulpit. I can do that in singing. I can do that in many things. But let's look at some things here. Look at verse 1. It said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not, what's our word? Charity. That's real. That's the agape love. In case you're wondering why I say love in some places, it's the agape love. It comes from that agape. That means the unconditional one. That's the agape love here. He's talking about charity. Though I speak in tongues and men's of angels and have not charity, that agape love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Now, sounding brass, I was thinking about the Marines band, you know, but the Marine band, they boom. Pull that back, boom, pull it back. They don't just, I mean, it's supposed to be something, a balance about it. The marching band, a balance about it. And it's but this sounding brass is a long-lasting noise. And the tinkling cymbals is like quick, sharp noise. It's like someone saying, honey, you know I love you. But their actions shows different. After a while, it started to hurt your ears. After a while, it becomes just noise. After a while, it's just an irritating, sharp sound. Everybody's okay? And it can come across the pulpit. It can come across here, and you need to be able to catch it. And so it's like when I'm in this place, it's like I have no balance. I'm out of tune and without oneness. So the first point would be this: self-love speeches are irritating words in the ears of others. And it comes in many ways. Look at the second thing about this self-love. This is somebody doing something, but it's not in charity. It's not with a supreme love to God. It's not with goodwill to mankind. It's not like I really want to help you. And look at the second thing. Verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy, I can tell forth. That's what that word means. I can tell it forth. I can preach it up. You know what I'm saying? Watch him. That can't be the main priority. That can't be the main thing just because they can preach. So a lot of folks can preach. But he say, listen, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, there's that faith, so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am what? How about that? I think charity is pretty important if I want to be something. I'm nothing I'm saying nothing. In verse 1, and in verse 2, I'm nothing. And that's very interesting. And so verse 1, we got the self-love speeches. In verse 2, we got the self-love services, which are wasteful in the eyes of others. I can get up and sing and be singing for self. I can get up and I can just preach and it'd be all about self. Let me go show them what I got. Show them what I know. Or teach or whatever. And so we need to be able to understand that the self-love is real. And it's just not of God. Jesus Christ was not about self. I mean, come on. He became poor so that we might be rich. I mean, he's not about self at all. He took the spit in his face, okay, for us. He had the nails in his hand, but he took the spit first. Many of us, you spit in our face, oh boy, you got it coming. And so, but the self-love is different than charity. It's more to charity, and we'll get to that. But look at the third thing in verse 3. It says in verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods, I'm putting money in the offering plate now, to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, a lot of people doing that. They blowing up bonds, blowing up themselves, think they're doing it for a good cause, and have not charity, it profiteth me what? Hold up. You saying nothing, you're nothing, and it's not profiting you anything. You're not becoming anything. You're staying nothing. I mean, if I'm reading this right. And so the first thing we see is the self-love speeches, which are irritating words in the ears of others. Self-love services, which are waste in the eyes of others. And now self-love sacrifices, which are worthless. They're worthless in the eyes of others. Are you with me? God is saying, listen, yeah, I want you to do what you can, but it need to be with charity. First of all, are you doing what you should be doing? But you need to do it in charity. And I would just say, Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church, make sure you put on this charity. Right now is the time you need charity. You need it. We all need it. But as a church, as a body, I would say, make sure that the charity stays intact. Because this, in verse 3, it adds no value or benefit to a person's life. So, charity, on the other hand, I gave you self-love definition. I gave you a charity in a theology sense. Let me give it to you biblically, just from biblically, a definition for charity. Charity is, first of all, it never fails. That self-love stuff fails. But charity never fails because it is a sacrificial, first of all, willing, sacrificial giving of oneself. Say that again, I want you to get this. Willing, sacrificial giving of oneself. Sound like Jesus, sound like God. Watch it. For the benefit of others. For the benefit of others. Not finished, comma, without thought of return. No thought of return. You know what that eliminates? That's why you can have long suffering. That's why you can put up with somebody. That's why you don't just have it up to here. Because it's no thought of return. That keeps me from becoming frustrated. I have no reason to get frustrated. I have no thought of return. See, this is what we need in our churches. This is what we need in our relationships. Because charity is I'm willingly sacrificing myself for you. My life for you. Because I want you the benefit. And there's no thought of return. And since there's no thought of return, I don't have to get irritated, offended, agitated is another word, frustrated. I can continue to enjoy. See, a lot of people have no joy because they don't express love. To experience joy, I must express love. When I'm expressing love, according to this, I experience joy. Then I can exhibit peace. Hard to have peace when you don't have no joy. You're agitating, you're irritating, you're frustrated. It's not going to be very much peace there. And you're trying to negotiate in that state. Everybody's okay. Just thinking a little bit. All right? Now listen, charity never fails. Charity never fails. We need to get with the charity. Doesn't fail. One of the things charity never fails to do is in verse 4. We're coming to a close, a landing. Charity never fails to abase self for others. That's humbling. It's like Jesus stepping down from heaven, stepping down from glory, stepping down. That made himself of no reputation, you know, mean he emptied himself. And so charity will never fail to abase itself, to humble itself. Put on that cloth of humility, if you would. Look at verse 4. Charity suffereth long. There's that suffering long. And is kind. Charity envieth not, doesn't get jealous. Why? Because I had no thought of return. It's all about you. It's all about you. Charity vaunteth, brags, boasts, not of itself. Is not puffed up. That means inflated. You know, you say, man, she really has a big head today. You know, you can see the head big. They can't hardly get through the door, but they get in and they're like, okay, I'm here. Time for me to sing, preach, or whatever. Charity not like that. Base itself. That's why I can negotiate without causing friction. And so we need to be concerned about that. Charity has a higher opinion of others than of self. See, charity doesn't stand up here and say, I'm up here and you're down there. See, when you despise someone, it means they have the lowest opinion of them. And so, you know, I'm up here, you're down there. And so I'm talking down to you because I despise you. I have a low opinion of you. See, charity's not like that. Yeah. Charity lowers itself. Charity abases itself, if you would. The Bible says knowledge puffeth up. But charity edifies. You know what edify means? Like architect. It builds up people. It's more interesting. That's why Jesus didn't touch the dignity of Judas or Peter or the rest or whoever was there. He did not. Because charity is not there to carry, to assassinate, to tear down somebody. And so let people do what they can. Maybe somebody might can't do nothing but come in and put the song books up. Maybe that's all they can do. Maybe all they can do is come in and open the curtains and let the light in. Let them do it. Let them do it. Why? Because you want them to benefit at the judgment seat of Christ. Amen? All right. Hey, look, I'm just saying now, if my wife and I, if I'm more concerned about her benefiting, and then she's more concerned about me benefiting, man, we got a good thing going on.
Amen.
It's good. It's a lot of joy in that. That's what we need. That's what we need. Look at the next thing we find here. And I want to get to the next one. This is a base. It's really on me. You remember the Bible when it says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. That's somebody concerned about the other person benefit. Then the Bible goes on to say, but Jesus again made of himself no reputation, but took upon him the form of a servant. Charity meets people right where they are. Right, Jesus met each and every one of us right where we were.
Yes, amen.
Saved us, forgave us, impressed us, and loved us. We love him because he what? Right there where we were. He stepped down to us. We didn't step up to him. No. We didn't step up to Jesus. Yeah, Jesus, here I am. No, he stepped down to us. Charity. That's why he got so much done. That's how we got saved. That's how we get heaven. That's how we got to be adopted into the family. It's charity. It never fails. But look at the next thing in verse 5. We'll close down here real quick. Verse 5. Charity does not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh, remember my definition now, a willing sacrificial giving of itself for the benefit of another without thought of return. Thought of return. Seeketh not her own, no thought of return. Now, that's not the me, myself, and I. That's us, we, ours, you. And it can come across here too. It can come across this pulpit. You need to do this, and you need to be that, and you this, and when you get right, it could come we. Us, our, it's charity. Everybody's okay? All right, let's get in it then. So he says there, so charity, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. How can I be provoked? How can you provoke me if everything I'm doing is a sacrificial thing for your benefit and I have no thought of return? I'm not thinking of my own. You can't provoke me. You push my buttons, and that's why you got. There's no buttons being pushed here. I mean, they push, and they keep pushing. And the only thing that come out is love. Sooner or later, they get the point. It's not about her or him. They're concerned about me. They really do love me. I test people. I grew up. There was no charity the way I grew up. And I would test people love. You might, that's not right. You shouldn't have done that. Yeah, I tested. And when you test, listen, hurting people. I was a hurting kid. Hurting people hurt people. And if you're not willing to be hurt, you're not going to show very much love. Think on that. So a lot of people, hurting people, man, they just need to be loved. Man, I pushed them away, and this one guy, Danny, I got saved, and Danny wanted to disciple me. And I'm not used to love. I got the Christ love. I got that. He died for me. I'm not going to hell. I got it. But I'm not used to human love. Hadn't experienced much of that. And I pushed people away. But Danny, he pushed in, man. Danny took the punches. He took it. He convinced me that he wanted to help me. And then he discipled me. He worked with me and, you know, went through discipleship one-on-one. People disciple, they got charity. Yeah, And he and Danny, God used Danny to help me. I had 1 foot in church, 1 foot out, you know. But Danny, I got in that word. And he let me go to his house and see how you treat your wife and how you treat your children, and this is how you treat your family, and this is how you treat your wife, and this is how you be a man, and this is how you do that. Charity taught me that. I didn't know. Why? Charity never failed. Amen. And I believe without that charity, I wouldn't be standing here right now. And so charity never failed to base itself, but right there, charity never fails to assist others. That's everything I just talked about right there. Assisting others, discipling them, helping them, you know, willingly doing it with no thought of return. You just want them to benefit. You can't do that if you don't abase yourself first. We have to abase ourselves so we can assist others. That's charity. But I don't want to, you know, abase myself. And you know, they messing up. Look how they messing up. You know, well, the Bible said those that oppose themselves are in a snare. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25, 26, 27 talks about the person opposing themselves. They're in the devil's snare. And we're supposed to have the meekness and patience and apt to teach. Amen, preach, apt to teach, so that, you know, perhaps God would give them repentance through the knowledge of truth. Is that Bible? But we're like, well, they're messed up. You know, you made your own bed. Go sleep in it, son. I ain't putting no more money. I'm not helping them no more. They made their own bed. Let them sleep in it. That's not charity. Man, if God allowed us, if Jesus allowed us to sleep in our beds that we made, our beds would be where? In hell. And some of us, we still sitting here because he's prolonged our life. If we weren't saved, we'd been dead and gone to hell. And so that charity is about abasing. Charity is about assisting. Charity is about that. And then the last thing, you done good. You guys hung in there. So we see here with this assistant that charity looks beyond people's faults and see their need. Oh, God did that. God did that for us. That good Samaritan in Luke did that. That guy left on the road half dead. He said, oh, he deserved it. The religious crowd walked right on by. Now, they knew what to do. They knew the law. That priest, the Levite, they knew the law. They knew what to do, but they walked on by. It's a religious crowd. They need charity. The Bible said, let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. That's 1 Corinthians 10, 24, if you're taking notes. The Bible also say, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. That's Philippians 2, 4. So charity never fails to assist others. The last point we finish. And it's in the next verse, which is 5, I think. Verse 5. We got verse 5. Verse 7, first part. Beareth all things. This is charity. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. That beareth means to put a roof over, to cover with silence. I'm not going to even talk about it. I'm not going to slander them, accuse them. That's devilish stuff anyway. The devil's accused of the brethren. And slanderer. So I'm just going to put a roof over it. So we can move on and do what we need to do. And charity, I'm going to put a roof over that. Hey, look, I'm going to cover it with silence. That's what that means in verse 7. I'm just going to, look, the Holy Spirit might say, look here, don't go in there and say nothing to your husband. Just zip it. You know, he got it coming. I got to let him know this one. No, zip it. But you know, bear it. He said, just bear it. Just wear it. Just bear it. Something good gonna come out of it. Just bear it. So charity not only abases itself, but charity assists others. And here, charity never fails to abide with others. Abide with others. You know, charity doesn't quit on people. Man, you gotta show grace. How can you frustrate the grace of God? How can you violate, neutralize, stop the grace of God? No, just cover that thing, keep going. Verse 13 says, and now abideth, remember I said abideth, faith, hope, and what? These three, but the greatest of these is what? Let's say it together. Are we going to say this? This is what we're going to say. Charity never fails. Together. Ready? Charity never fails. It never fails. It never fails to abase itself. Never fails to assist, never fails to abide. We need charity. It meets people right where they are. It doesn't quit on them. It doesn't kick them to the curb. Jesus never kicked Peter to the curb. If I'm sitting in an interview, I used to own a couple businesses, a restaurants. I went to college, got a degree in cooking. I was a chef, French chef. Open up a Russian restaurant, open up different restaurants. But if I was interviewing a guy and he came out there like Peter type A, oh no, you're not getting a job, buddy. He's not getting on. We want to put Peter out of church. God didn't. We're ready to hang Judas. If we knew he was a thief and we knew he was going to betray you, God didn't even let him know to the end. Maintain his dignity. It's grace. It's charity. And that's what we need. Who do you know, in closing, your life, who do you know in your life that need charity? They need it. Maybe your grandchildren. Maybe they're going through something in a marriage, and then maybe somebody going through a marriage, somebody you know in business, and you got what it takes in the business world. You can give them something to help them, for them to benefit. I don't know. Who do you know can benefit from charity? What situation are you in that can benefit from charity? How can charity be used to stop you from failing? Shoot a visit to Bible Baptist Church. How can charity be used in your present situation to keep you from failing? When will you and I be committed to putting on charity? Let's pray together. Father, this be the altar call as I pray. Father, I thank you for this message that you put on my heart to preach. I thank you for allowing me to come and do this. And Lord, you got something in mind. You want to help people this morning. You want to build up people. You said charity edify. You trying to build us up. You trying to build up a church. You trying to build up some families here. And Lord, I pray that you would really work in the hearts of your people and impress upon our hearts that we need this charity. We really need to be praying for charity. We got to put it above all things. I mean, we got to do it with everything we do. It's got to be done with charity. And we need it, Lord, and I pray that you'll help your people this morning to see the need and to seek you for it. And if anybody here today that don't know you as their personal Savior, if there's somebody here, they know sin. They know what it is to do wrong, break your rules and your laws, but having turned to you, repented and turned to you, seeking forgiveness and seeking to be saved, to be in a relationship, personal relationship, you, Father, through the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that you would move on their hearts through the love that was preached and taught this morning, to give them the faith to believe that Jesus came and died for their sins, went in that grave and rose again from the grave, and they can rise one day also. Save souls, I pray, during this invitation. Move on our hearts. Cause us to do what we need to do. Doing this invitation, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The altar's open, and this is the altar call.
So. Would y'all rise, and we're going to turn over to number 540, and we're going to sing the first and last verses.